The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
This is Name That Tune. I'm here. I'm Nick Gardner. I'm with Doug Jenke. What's the name of the show?
Poke the Hornet's Nest.
And we're going to do some poking. We're poking the Hornet's Nest today. We're going to start picking on the picks that Tim Garman and Mary Rickard have picked for the Election Integrity Project Committee. And you're going to see exactly why Patrick Jones nixed them as being members to that committee. You're going to see what brought it on. Are you ready with that first clip with Nathan Pickney?
I am on it.
Poppin', man. Get it poppin'. This is Nathan coming up. Nathan's kind of bashful this morning. Maybe he hasn't got up guts. Well, no, that's not it. We might have to start the show over. By the way, we're taking phone calls today, so please go ahead and call in.
It goes way beyond the stupid that we know into a whole different dimension of stupid. He is trans stupid stupid, meta stupid. Stupid collapsed on itself so far that even the neutrons have collapsed. Stupid so dense that no intellect can escape. Singularity stupid. Blazing hot midday sun on Mercury stupid. Perhaps he is some primordial fragment from the original Big Bang of stupid.
I think I'm more educated than all three of you.
So there you go. There's Nathan Pickney. That clip got shortened up for some reason. But he was speaking to the Board of Supervisors with Patrick Jones sitting up there, and he was telling you, in his opinion, how stupid Patrick Jones is. And then he wanted Patrick to vote to put him on the committee. Can you imagine that? And Tim Garman says, calls Cry a liar because he wouldn't vote for somebody that goes up and talks to the committee or to the supervisors like that.
Well, you know, it just shows the level of stupidity from Mr. Pickney in that that outburst right there was, I had not heard that one before. And to sit there in front of the public and say that and then not get put onto a publicly based board and sit there and wonder why, it only liberals can defy that kind of logic.
I'm going to use the new profanity to describe that. That stupid retarded.
Oh, that is very retarded what he said.
It's
yes,
creative stupid. You know, he took stupid and he found a new way to do it.
I got to say, I'm not sure there's a clip on planet Earth that has more uses of the word stupid than what we just heard.
I heard in the new edition of the second dictionary that's coming out at the first of the year, when I go to stupid, it's going to have Nathan Pickney on there.
I heard Disney Star Wars was looking for a director who could do something as stupid as he did, and he's now getting hired.
Yeah. No, it's funny. The selections that, and we're going to talk more about it here, but the selections that these so-called conservative supervisors, Rickards and Garman, are making should automatically disqualify them from calling themselves conservatives. I mean, they're not even nominating conservatives. They're nominating crazy whack job liberals that are disruptive, disrespectful, will only be there to destroy the process, and yet they keep nominating these people. And folks, let that sink in. You know, Mary Rickards is, it wants to nominate a guy who is extremely far left, and because we're both in the same profession, I can't use his name because that's called disparaging, but
I can, and I've got it coming up. The thing is, it's stupid retarded for them to nominate them. Either
exactly.
That or there are a couple of three-year-olds that know they won't get in trouble, and they're just trying to stir things up. Now we've got a clip coming up of Benjamin Nguyen's wife, Jenny, and she's going to echo the way Benjamin Nguyen speaks to the board. She's speaking to the board right now. Are you ready for that clip?
Yes, sir.
Well, put her on.
Let's do it.
That sitting quietly and not bothering anyone is protected speech in a county meeting. You know what else is protected speech? Outside of that, the fact that your lawyer did not allow for my lawyer to come and speak to me, but I was interviewed by five sheriffs and your lawyer with no representation. So will you want to explain to me how you love the Constitution? Because those are constitutional violations, the First Amendment, the Fourth Amendment, the 14th. How many amendments are you going to violate? And I don't care that you laugh and you're smug, because I will take you down. I will take you down, and I will do it with the most kindness and love and respect possible. And you know why that is? Because you are reprehensible. You are a reprehensible human being. Do you know how many people hate you? Do you know how many people I've talked to who are glad you are out? And I, the next time I sit down, it will not be for an apology. It will be for you to leave. I am finished with you and this chaos.
So,
I don't blame Kevin. I don't blame Kellstrom. I don't blame anybody but you. I have watched you do this for 4 years. You were outside of those doors with megaphones. And I heard you on January 5th and 6th explain.
So that's she echoes just exactly how Benjamin has spoke to Patrick Jones. And Benjamin goes in there and begs for Patrick's vote to put him on that board. Isn't that something?
Yeah.
And poor Jenny, she sat down and she claims that she's just the calm one in the room.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Liberals always do that. They're the ones that are doing nothing. There's no buildings on fire. It's peaceful protest. You know, that's their strategy, you know. They need the spotlight on them, and then they can claim that they're being the peaceful one or the magnanimous one. And just listening to her talk is it's mind numbing to me. It actually hurts my ears.
She fed off herself on that one. You know, she sat down on the floor and wouldn't get up. The four sheriffs talked to her. Kevin Cry talked to her. The CEO talked to her. CEO Rickard. Our attorney for the supervisors talked to her. Without her lawyer there, I'll bet she doesn't have a lawyer.
Well, the fun thing is, it's not a court of law. There's no right to a lawyer if you're not in a court of law.
And all they were trying to do is, I imagine what they said was, come on, Jenny, get up.
Yeah.
Come on. Let's go out, let's get this over with, and let's move on with county business. And I watched her on the video, and she was smiling while they were packing her out.
Well, because, of course, the attention all fell on her, just like with Pickney. When the recall people disrupt, the 15 minutes of fame starts, and they are going to do everything in their power to keep that 15 minutes of fame on them. And they're going to repeat it, and 1 week it's this, the next week it's that, the next week. There's no end to this.
And the J.C. cartel, according to Christian Gardner, won't vote one of these upstanding citizens in. And on top of that, let you in on a little secret. Jenny just went to work for the county.
Oh, interesting.
Isn't it, though?
Oh, wow. Nick, I'm trying to wrap my head around that first clip and now this one, and I know you've got another one coming up. But these people have been doing this since a month after Kevin got elected, and their chosen white party dress Reznor did not get chosen, and they have just got a bee in their hornet that they're just not going to let go. They just cannot take the loss, take the L.
I went to a meeting, a special meeting Thursday, It was the shortest meeting I've ever been to, and what made it so long was there was about six of those recallers there in there chewing and yelling at Kevin Cry and Chris Kellstrom and Patrick Jones. And they just, this meeting coming up is going to be a good one, and I'll tell you why. Anyway, the chaos is completely created by them.
Well, it's you know, I've said this before on our show. I've said it on Carl's show. This is, there's nothing here. If we want to outwit them, read Rules for Radicals. That's their playbook. That's what they're doing. Create chaos. Create distractions. Throw crap at the fan. Let it spread and then drop, walk away while everybody else is trying to put the fan back together. This is nothing new. It's just new for us as a common sense conservative because we've never been inundated with the absolute insanity that is liberal think tank.
So Nathan Pinckney and Benjamin Nguyen were people that Tim Garmon wanted to put on the Election Integrity Committee. Mary Rickard has came up with somebody she wants to appoint. His name is Brad Garbutt. Appoint Brad Garbutt as the District 3 representative to Shasta County Elections Committee to serve the remainder of the term to January 6, 2025. This is R6 on the meeting coming up Tuesday, and it promises to be interesting because I know all the recallers are going to show up, and they're all going to have their 3 minutes of yelling and screaming and telling Kevin and Jonesy and Chris what a bunch of dirty, rotten, low-down polecat coyotes they are. And if you want to know what kind of a person Brad Garbutt is, go to a news cafe and start fishing around in the comments. And go back 3 or 4 weeks because he knew this was coming and he's cleaned up his comments. And here, I've got one here that I'll read to you. Well, just sitting quietly saying nothing would be interpreted by these three as condoning what they are doing, since they totally ignore anyone and everyone trying to respectfully, like Nathan and like Jenny just did, disagree or criticize them during public comment time or comments on specific agenda items. And they just go on and on and on. They've got Billy Goat Jeff. He's got to get up there and go on. It's really sad that he is such a sore loser. Actually, the whole bunch of them. It's sad they're sore losers the way they are. They can't just lick their wounds and go home and come back to fight the next day. They just keep digging that little scab and just keep digging and digging. And they waste our time. They waste our money.
Well, and the thing is, you know, the fact of the matter is, if we go by statistical norm, Shasta County is theoretically by registration, a 2-to-1 conservative, I should say Republican-Democrat kind of setup. And yet, you don't have conservatives or Republicans up there creating chaos, havoc, or whatever. You've got a small group of agitators, haters, liberals, idiots that just will not move on with their life. Their life is around chaos and destruction, and that's what they're going to focus on every time. And for them to sit there and say these, I would call relatively heinous things in public against the big three, as I'll call them in this comment, and then expect them to vote for them?
Well,
is mind-numbing. That's stupidity. Now, Nathan, that's stupid to think that they're going to vote for you as you insult them.
Retarded. Excuse my profanity. Here's number two from Brad Garbutt, a comment. Joanna will not let Tom throw the election. She will simply pick up the phone, call the Secretary of State, and tell her to come investigate. So now they're saying that the three put Tom Toler in there to steal the election. It doesn't get much better than that, does it?
No, well, I mean, you know, having a previous register of voters who went and worked for Mr. George Soros and gave a presentation, that's way worse than anything the new gentleman's going to do. I can promise you that.
And here's the third comment I fished out of there. God wanted Donald J. Trump to live so he could lose to a black woman. That's his comment about O'Harris running for
Yeah, I don't see why he's not qualified to be on that voting or the election integrity group. That's just everything to these people. Everything to these people comes down to race, gender, how they identify, and to sit there. I mean, that comment alone, you know. he's going to lose to not a woman, you know, whether she wins or not, whether she steals the election or not will be determined yet. But she's not a woman.
She's a black woman.
Who identified as an Indian woman for most of her entire adult life until all of a sudden it became beneficial to identify as a black woman. That's just crazy. That's how their entire – it's like I've said on our show and I've said privately – up until Sleepy, I thought Barack Obama was the absolute worst, most heinous, corrupt, criminal president in the history of the United States. Joe's beat him. I got to give credit. Joe actually set that bar even lower. But I never once said he was a bad black president. I just said he was a bad president, you know. And these people, that's all they do. And then they accuse us of being the racist.
And here's another one. Now, this first part I'm going to read. It's a comment from somebody else, and this will be Brad's reply to it. Megas who think the raised fist started with Trump are merely exposing another facet of their cult membership and the fact that they have the historical knowledge of gnats. Here's Brad's reply. I guess they are afraid to show their true salute with the open hand.
Yeah, I knew that was coming. For some reason, I just knew that was coming.
For you people who didn't understand it, that's the Nazi salute he's referring to. He's calling us Nazis.
Well, and you know, and the funny thing is it's that very salute that the liberals are supporting massively in Ukraine right now with the Azov Battalion, which identify as Nazis, use the duck walk, have the symbol, and salute each other that. And that's the very same people the liberals want to send bazillions of dollars to. So, Brad, can you have it both ways? You guys are wanting to support that war and send money to a group that is currently active in a war zone that you guys support that salutes each other with the Nazi salute. So which one is it? Which one is it?
I've seen a couple of his comments, and he claims to be James. But I guess he doesn't realize his picture's on there, so we can see it's him. But here's the last one. Let's not forget CRY has done a pretty good job of suppressing our free speech rights for public comments with all his silly rules. After he let Jenny talk like that, he let Nathan talk like that, he lets these BB brains go on the way they do. I mean, geez.
Well, you know, Nick, I have a comment here. I've been making notes. I'm trying to be better prepared as we're going through this. And liberals, newsflash, every single thing you believe in, every politician you support, every ideology is 100% wrong. You have not been right on anything ever. And you still aren't right. So let that sink in. Name all of the successes that liberals have had. And you're free to come on this show. And Nick and I will be more than happy to have you on here and have a fair-based, fact-based conversation. But you guys have been 100% wrong in everything. And here we go again. They're claiming Kevin and them are locking them down as they get completely abused. You can't have it both ways.
You know, the sad part about this is Mary Rickard is bringing this guy forward to be on the election.
That's
committee.
Supposed to be Republican Mary Rickard.
Come on, Mary. You really, why did you nominate him? I want you to explain that to us.
Yeah.
Why don't you call in?
Yeah. Why don't we have...
We'll take calls, Mary.
Why don't we have an explanation of why the two so-called, air quotes, Republicans keep nominating uber liberal disruptors? That, let that sink in, folks, for the vote. That's who they really are. Mary sided with the lockdown, shutting down the business, everything, did not protect our rights, and now she's here trying to nominate liberals. Think about that.
Who refers to Donald J. Trump as the orange Jesus.
Yes, yes, because that's what he is, apparently. I didn't think of that, but okay.
Well, Brad did.
Yeah, well.
he's a deep thinker.
But you know what? Speaking of liberal stupidity, Nick, I was really offended the other day. I was really offended. I was at a local store, and I had to use the facilities, and I showed up, and the door had blasphemy on it. It had a sign that said, "Man," and another one said, "Woman." It offended me immensely. It should have said "its" or "they's" or "them's" or, well, something. So I think that these we're perpetuating a myth when we have bathrooms that are labeled men or women. It just offends me.
Did
completely.
You go into the men's? Did it have a tampon dispenser?
Well, no, 'cause I'm not in Minnesota with Tim. I'm not in tampon Tim's state. So you know, but young boys probably need to use tampons quite a bit.
Well, they get nosebleeds a lot.
to getting into man fights.
Yeah, well, you know, it's absolutely ridiculous where our country has gone to. It's unbelievable. Local, city, county, state, federal, it's just absolutely unbelievable. And we've got some clips coming up about homelessness. Has anybody noticed the new homelessness in town?
Well, it's funny, as you and I have been beating this drum ever since that lady, a black lady, for the record, a black lady, not a racist.
Ella
she was
something.
She was something. She gave a presentation or a 3-minute speech at the Board of Supervisors. And again, she was black, so I guess that makes it more valuable than if it had been a white person. But she said that she had witnessed a bus dropping off people. And when she asked them, they were from San Francisco homeless people. So you and I brought that to our radio show more than once, and now you've got some other stuff that's coming up now.
Oh, yes. I got a video that is very interesting. And who sent it to me? I forget who sent it to me. It goes on and on and on. We've got some good clips. Are we ready for those clips? How long till a break?
We have over 5 minutes.
Oh, good.
Let's go to that first clip. We'll discuss it.
Francisco politicians have been caught busing their homeless people into your neighborhood. Coming up, we've got the full gory details and how we're planning to stop them.
I just played it for the music.
Oh, there you go.
I'm Carl DeMaio, chairman of Reform California, and there's always been this concern that liberal blue city politicians buy bus tickets for their homeless population, and they ship them into, well, anywhere they can possibly ship them to, including your neighborhood. Because homeless people are popping up everywhere, and you're wondering, how in the heck did they even get here in the first place? Now, the liberal media continues to tell us that those are all people that came from our own neighborhood. BS. We know that there is a scam of liberal politicians creating the conditions of dependency in their city, fostering and incentivizing and promoting reckless behavior, bad behavior, you know, lawlessness, drug use, that leads to people basically losing a connection to reality and ending up literally crazy on the streets, strung out on the streets. And then what they do is, in addition to just continuing to throw their own taxpayer money at the problem and not really enforcing any sort of solution, they decide, well, there's still too many of them here, so let's move the problem elsewhere. Let's export our problem and let other people suffer the consequences. In San Francisco, we have an election coming up, and their mayor, London Breed, is flailing in the polls. She's about to lose her job, and it's because even the liberal voters of San Francisco, they've had enough. They realize that the far-left progressive approach to governing has failed them miserably, that there's a misery index that they're now subjected to. In order for her to try to win her office, she's trying to basically pretend to be a Republican. She's coming out as tough on criminals, though really not. She talks about welfare to work requirements, drug tests for welfare recipients. But yeah, again, it's all showboating. The latest is she has signed an executive order.
That clip ran over quite a bit. You know, Ben, who is our, what are you, 18 years old? I think he was up late last night with his girlfriend. He's not noticing when these clips stop, but that's okay because it's all interesting. So what we've got here is we've got San Francisco and Sacramento shipping their homeless out. There's no doubt in my mind Redding has got quite a bit.
Uh-huh.
They're getting rid of their problem. So, Hold
that thought. We'll come right back after the break, and we'll pick it right up about them shipping us the stuff to us. We'll be right back.
KCNR Shasta is also broadcasting at K243CT Redding.
I'm Tracy Edwards, CEO of the Redding Rancheria. Giving back to our local community is a tradition that is firmly rooted in our history. It is with great honor and pride that we have been able to support several amazing local businesses like these over the years.
Thanks to the Ready Rancher for their support of the Kiwanis Fiesta Dam Club Food for Kids program. We send 185 bags of food home every Friday. They're instrumental in helping us.
Reading Rancheria, proud to play our part.
Unleash the heat and let the humps turn every moment into a sizzling spectacle. Experience the allure of the hottest male performers heating up the event center at Wind River Resort and Casino on Friday and Saturday, August 23rd and 24th. Get up close and personal with these male dancers as they work their way from the stage and through the crowd. Tickets for this steamy event are just $20 plus fees and include $10 free slot play. For tickets or complete details, visit windriver.com or call 1-800-280-YOU-WIN. Find your moment at Wind River Resort and Casino.
Every day, your life is filled with choices. And when a health crisis happens, you need to be prepared to choose the best healthcare partner. That's when Shasta Regional Medical Center is there to answer the call above the rest. Ranked best in Reading and in the nation for patient safety and clinical excellence, you can be confident that when you choose Shasta, you are choosing superior care, safety, and excellence for you and your family. Choose Shasta at ShastaRegional.com.
I'm Tracy Edwards, CEO of the Reading Rancheria. Giving back to our local community is a tradition that is firmly rooted in our history.
Thank you, Reading Rancheria, for supporting Tree of Life International Charter School. Gracias por todo su apoyo.
Thank you, Reading Rancheria!
The Shasta Lake Chamber of Commerce wants to thank the Reading Rancheria. They have sponsored our Friday night in the park for more than 18 years, and we really appreciate it.
Reading Rancheria, proud to play our part.
And now, back to our show.
Kamala Harris versus Donald Trump, just the facts. You can fact check me, it's all true. Kamala, she graduated from Hastings College of Law. The law school is ranked 82nd out of 196 law schools. She graduated, she took her bar exam, she failed. She failed the exam. She has never had her own business, never had any of her own employees, ever. 2017 to 2021, she served in the California Senate. During those 4 years, she worked on 164 pieces of legislation. Not one of them ever became law. What makes it worse is that she's a liberal governing in a liberal state, and she was still zero for 164. So during the 4 years, she accomplished nothing. As vice president, she has a record, the lowest approval rating ever in the history of this country, 28%. Donald J. Trump, he graduated from Penn's Wharton School of Business. It's ranked number one out of Kamala Harris versus Donald Trump. Just the facts. You can fact check me.
College that the Orange Jesus went to, it's ranked number one out of about 120, and he graduated number one.
Wow.
And you see his accomplishments.
Well, you know what's funny is I got to say, I almost like Kamala, because she sponsored or she worked on 160 pieces of legislation and none of them got through. That's pretty good. That's regulation reduction right there. So, Nick, before the break, you and I were talking and you were about to light up the microphone about what's going on in San Francisco and how we are getting more homeless people. And would you like to continue, sir?
Well, you've got the government of San Francisco shipping their homeless out, and we're getting a few of them.
I'd say more than a few, but that's my opinion.
And you've also got Los Angeles now with Gavin Newsom that's going to clean up the homeless in Los Angeles by sending them someplace else.
Are the homeless people not allowed to go on vacation?
They're on vacation all the time. Give them a couple hits of fentanyl and they're in la-la land.
Yeah, they go anywhere on the planet
they're
Earth on
flying.
That.
They're flying.
Sending them up here, they're not going to live very long. I'll just say that much.
Well,
they're living
what,
pretty well, actually. We're too nice to them. We're quite generous, comparatively speaking, to, say, Modoc or Siskiyou County, I would suspect.
Well,
Trinity
I got to say,
County.
And this is not, I mean, first off, let me put a disclaimer. I've got a couple extra pounds I need to lose, so this is not coming from fat shaming. But I got to say, we have some pretty porky homeless people who are smoking cigarettes. They've all got tattoos. I mean, if you're home, or I'm sorry, I have just offended our audience. They're not homeless. They're unhoused.
No, they're not. They're liberals.
According
to Democratic voters is what they are.
According to that video, they're unhoused. They're not homeless. But it's just when you talk about coming up here and dying, I mean, we got some porkers. I see homeless people, and they're not missing meals.
Well, you know, I sat in Costco and had a chocolate latte the other day, coffee latte, and I was people watching. And, boy, there's a reason we are the fattest country in the world. We overtook Mexico.
Oh, yeah.
Not a long time ago. But anyway, getting back to busing the homeless out, I read, I don't know, 4 or 5 years ago where there were some big nonprofits in San Francisco. Probably Gates was one of them, Silicon Valley nonprofits, Packard. And they were sponsoring homeless people to go to another place they would pay the rent for 2 years. And they'd go there, they'd probably send some up here, and in 2 years they're on their own. I'll wager they're homeless again.
Oh, I'd bet that.
So that's another program to get them out of their area. But the thing is, they come up here and they're living on the streets, and the city of Redding displaces them off public property onto private property, and it's the same thing. They hold the private property owner responsible
for the cleanup.
Besides that, yes.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So they let them move on to private property, to be it down below Mercy, up off of Lake Boulevard, and then there's a cleanup, and then they submit a big bill to the home, you know, to the owner, or put a tax lien against it. And it's just like, this wasn't their choosing. They didn't sign leases and let these people move on and destroy the property. But
the city said they can't afford to clean it up because they can't afford the dump fees. But the county owns the dump and the city runs it. What are they paying fees for anyway?
Well, yeah.
I mean, you know, clean up our town and to heck with the dump fees.
Well,
it's kind of like Redding Electric Utility, you know. We've got our sports park shut down, and utilities is one of the biggest bills. The taxpayers own the electricity, or the REU. Give them the electricity. Let's keep them kids off the street, because some of them are going to run amok if they're not playing their sport.
Well, actually, Nick, that's a great idea, because I've said before that I am absolutely 100% against all the new green scam stuff, because if it was actually valid, it would not need all the government subsidies. And so REU offers all these rebates to people who, for electric bikes, for electric cars, for going solar. Stop giving the rebates, and then take that credit and move it over to the park where kids can actually use it, and they can maybe turn, air quote, a profit. So stop giving rebates to people who don't need it, and use that money to go light up the fields.
I don't care about them making a profit if they could just break even.
Well, if you're not having to
subsidize them a little bit. You know, you've got thousands of kids playing out there, and I'll tell you something. Idle time is the devil's workshop.
Oh, boy.
And, you know, we've got to do whatever we can. We're going to get back to Big League Dreams, but we've got another clip coming up. It's the Homeward Bound clip program. Are you ready with clip number 2?
I believe so.
Boy, he's on it.
I'm telling you.
Andale. Andale.
She graduated from Hastings College
the mayor,
of Law.
London Breed.
The law school's ranked 87.
The short was in the background. Sorry about that.
That's okay.
She's not actually wanting to change the failed approach to California homelessness that led to the disaster that we're facing today. Instead, she wants to move her problem into your neighborhood. Here is ABC7 with the story.
It's a controversial push to get San Francisco's unhoused population out of town. Mayor Breed putting out an executive order to buy bus tickets for the homeless population as the city's shelters are near full. Good evening. I'm Amadeus.
And I'm Dan Ashley. Thanks for joining us. This comes as Mayor Breed says they are seeing some progress in creating housing for many longtime San Franciscans. But this...
No. This comes as London Breed got her last poll showing her she's about to get her ass handed to her on a silver platter by the voters. So she has to pretend like she's a conservative and she's getting the problem out of town. That's what this is happening. And I mean, we're making progress by throwing a bunch of money, billions of dollars, at government-subsidized housing projects, these so-called affordable housing projects at $1 million a pop, absolutely a wasteful boondoggle at taxpayers' expense. Again, you can deal with homelessness if you just have bunk beds in shelters and enforce the rules for mental health and substance abuse programs. But I digress.
Yeah, you digress. I don't think that was the right clip. Clip number 2 started at 4:08. Was that where we were at there, Ben?
Yes, sir.
I'll be darned. Okay, well, the gist of it was busing the homeless, Homeward Bound.
Yep.
And Newsom did that a long time ago. California did that a long time ago. And it was fed to us by our locals here.
Homeward Bound was the third clip you wanted. I could get that one going if you want.
Oh, okay. Let's do that.
Well, I just want to say that I was right. I mean, one of the first words out of that clip that you did play was unhoused. So there you go. Where they're not homeless, they're unhoused.
Or unsheltered.
Unsheltered. They're just, whoa, there's just...
Of course, they throw a few limbs up and a blue tarp over it, and they're sheltered.
Yeah.
I feel very sorry for them. I don't think anybody wants to live that lifestyle. I know I certainly wouldn't. I doubt if I could survive. And, you know, but... if they don't want to work with us, if they don't want to clean up their mess, I don't want to help them.
Well, and that's it, is if they're not willing to be accountable and responsible, you, number one, you can't help them because they don't want it. And two, they are, you know, they're a destructive force in society. And so when people say, oh, we have spent, if not trillions of dollars, on homeless people throughout the country, and the problem is only getting worse. People are getting rich, and we're getting more homeless. That's not the correct way to do this. We need to spend that money elsewhere, get them off the street, put them in some kind of shelter, try to get them cleaned up. But the fact of the matter is, the more money we throw at the problem, the worse it gets.
Well, they're kind of arrogant in the messes they make. They don't think anything of throwing a cup on the side of the road. Even if there's a trash receptacle right close by, I have seen them do it. And if they just realize if they didn't leave such a mess, people wouldn't resent them so much.
Well, and, you know, like, I mean, I'm sure everybody listening has had this problem. You know, you're driving down any street, Redding, California, or elsewhere, and all of a sudden somebody just starts walking out in front of you in the middle of the street. And they look at you like you're the one that's, you know, at fault or at wrong, and you're just like, wait a minute, you jerk. You know, I was driving, minding my own business, and you decided to jaywalk with your shopping cart and your dog and your, you know, your Slurpee, and you're looking at me? And that's the vision I get when I see homeless people.
You know, and the jaywalking got so flagrant that they made it not against the law anymore.
Well, that's it. You take away the punishment, the punishment aspect, then it becomes not a punishable item. There's no consequences for their actions.
That's the way a lot of our crime statistics have fallen.
Yes.
They're not classified as a crime anymore. They get a citation. It doesn't count as a crime. People don't even call the police anymore.
Well, I mean, crying out loud, we've got, you know, $950 before you actually could get anything more than a citation. And stores, you know, they don't even call the police. So when these liberals are out there, oh, we've reduced crime. No, you've reduced crime reporting because it just ain't worth the effort. That's the problem.
So we're going to go to this last clip. This has to do with the Homeward Bound program.
Head exam.
Weird says offering people a way home is key.
They need to be able to go back home. I think offering them that chance to reunite with their family, where their support system is everything.
Well,
and I'm a liberal voter and I'm an activist. You are the problem. You are an absolute idiot. Your religious zealotry to far left ideas that have brought this problem on disqualifies you from offering an opinion and being part of any sort of decision making.
I think we ought to open our supervisors' meeting with that.
So far in solving the homelessness crisis.
It does serve a small population of people who do have communities outside of San Francisco that they can reconnect with and be housed. But any attempts in the past to expand it have been unsuccessful because there's just not that many people who benefit from the program.
Oh, so let's talk about attempts in the past, because London Breed was not the one who came up with this idea.
So, let's open the supervisors' meeting with that, Kevin. You're not welcome here. You don't have anything worth saying. Get out.
Well, you're the cause of the problem that disqualifies you from having a comment. And you know what's funny is, I was thinking about this while I was listening to that clip, Nick, is God bless him, but Mr. Joe Wong, who recently, I believe, passed us, he had a program that he funded for a couple years where we would send our homeless to a location, but there were some guidelines on that. They had to have somebody there that was going to meet him at the bus stop, and they were going back home. And so he did a program here locally, and I think it was $1 million is what he allocated for it, if I remember correctly.
All of that and a little bit more, I believe.
Yeah, and he was – I mean, he – and I'm gonna personally just stick out and say it was him, because it was a great idea that he funded this thing. And we were sending our homeless people, but we were sending them back to their house to somebody who was waiting for them. This is just San Francisco dropping them in a bus and throwing them, you know, rural city 123 with nobody waiting for them.
That's absolutely right. And I remember when it started here, they acted like it was an original idea, and this is something that's been going on for quite a while. And I heard the statistic someplace that it only worked about, it worked about 80% of the time. The ones that wanted to go back home and they had somebody that would receive them. Most of the people they contacted said, no, they burnt their bridge here.
Yeah.
We don't want them coming back.
No, and that's it. You know, when you get to that level of
you've disrupted my life and made me miserable for the last time.
Yep. And there's a certain moment, and that again, you know, bad decisions, whatever we want to call it, but the fact of the matter is, these people, you know, they might have had a tough upbringing. I don't know their stories, but that doesn't give them a right to destroy society. And liberals seem to think that we need to bend over backwards for tax-paying people with good families trying to do the right thing. We owe these homeless people who've made bad decisions, we owe them something, and we don't. We don't. This is the United States of America. Everybody has the same opportunity. There's people that took advantage of it, and there's people that have not. And the people that have not are not necessarily my problem or yours.
Well, they sure are our problem, well, because that's all they do is create problems. I just thought of the answer for Nathan Pinckney and Ginny and Nguyen and Brad and Jeff and Christian. We need to start a committee and put them on it. What kind of committee could we start that they could be on, and that would make them happy, and maybe they'd shut up? They just need attention.
Well, let's
send them out canvassing homeless camps.
I got an idea, Nick. I mean, this has got a valid approach. So let's get Rickards and Garmin to actually nominate somebody who is common sense, and they'll put that on the real election integrity, and then we make a second election integrity B, and we put all the liberals on it. And
that's a good idea.
And then let's go down 6 months down the road to see what has been accomplished, what the ideas are, and what improvements. And that way, they're side by side. There's no, you know, no disruption. The liberals can yell and scream at each other, and the other side can actually do what they want to do. But then you can give them both appointments, and they're running side by side. You can clearly see who's accomplishing what.
And they can walk around town with their chest puffed out. I am on Committee B.
Yeah.
You know, I've seen the city of Reading do that over the years. I've seen people that ran for the city and were sour because they lost, and they would go up, and they wouldn't be as bad as these.
What's happening at the board has really gotten bad in the last 2 years.
Yeah. But they would be up there pointing out bad things, this and that. And pretty quick, they'd put them on a committee, the Arboretum Committee or something like, and you never hear from them again.
Yeah. Well, you know, I said it before, and I do not agree with me. I don't know Garmin personally. I don't know Rickards personally, but I know their politics, and they suck. But what those people have to endure on a weekly basis, I mean, all five of them deserve respect for just putting their hand up and then wanting to run again. I think it's almost a mental disease.
Rickards shouldn't be running, in my opinion.
Well, no, because she voted, or, you know, it was agreed that there was going to be term limits. She's actually termed out, but because it wasn't in effect when she's doing it. So the very thing that she said she was supporting, she's actually violating.
Yes. Yeah. Morally, she should not run again, in my opinion.
Well,
I've had my two terms. The public spoke. I choose not to run this time.
Yeah, well, that's not going to happen. She says she's. I
thought she wanted to improve Shasta County.
Nah, I mean, you don't keep trying to appoint the people who are destroying Shasta County and say you're trying to improve Shasta County. That's just not how that works. You know, and Nick, it's funny, as we were talking a little bit about green energy here, so I want to get on something a little different because I was reading this yesterday. The state is really bitching and moaning that they're not getting enough gas tax to, you know, cover fixing the roads. So I started thinking about this, and I'm an absolute hater of all electric vehicles, except for the Tesla Plaid, because it does 0 to 60 in 1.8 seconds, which is pretty impressive. But after that, they're worthless, they have no resale value, they're more destructive, and here's where it gets interesting, is you got these people saying they're not collecting enough gas tax. But these are the same liberal idiots that keep pushing us into electric cars that don't pay gas tax. And a electric car weighs up to 2,000 to 4,000 pounds more than the same size regular car, which means they're destroying the roads faster, not paying road tax. And the liberals somehow want to tax the people who actually are paying for gas, doing less damage, to pay more for the people driving the electric vehicles. Isn't that great? It's a great system.
Yeah. Miles tax.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and we already pay a miles tax. Every time you fill up on gas, if you use more gas, you pay more tax. It's pretty simple.
I think you pay an 18-cent federal tax, about a 50-cent California tax, plus we've got the carbon tax.
Yep. We got that nice green tax. It does nothing, goes nowhere, and just making people a lot of money.
But thank God Joe Biden's bringing the price of gas down.
Well,
just in time for the election. Who would have thought? You know, and I've actually dropped the price of gas, although it's still a dollar higher than when the Orange Jesus was in there.
Yeah.
Steal a term from
And I'm
Brad.
Not exactly sure that he's bringing the price of gas down. I think because the economy is finally, the wheels are coming off the economy, which I've expected for at least 2 years since COVID shut down, or opened up, I should say, because it's all fake. It's fake money. It's fake this, credit card debt, blah. So I think trucks and cars were driving less miles. Therefore, the oil companies are now starting to have surplus of oil, and I think that's what's doing, because I'm not aware of him doing anything that's changed the price of gas at a government level, from what I know, unless you know something more than me.
Well, he probably sold some more out of the strategic reserve, maybe to China, and then they sold it back to us at a profit.
Yeah. Well, he might have done that. You never know.
Well, he did sell them a lot of our strategic reserve. It was almost full with Donald J. Trump, and it's way less than 50% now.
Oh, I know. And just as we're looking at two possible wars.
Yes.
Great strategy there, Joe.
Yeah. And Kamala, she'll just keep the old train going.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, the thing is, the liberals really want, and it's been stated inside the White House when they leak stuff, that they wanted to create a situation where Biden could be a war president. There was discussions, and it got leaked out that Biden wanted to be a war president. So they've been pushing this Ukraine thing to the max, and now we've got, of course, what's going on down there in Israel. And they've said that they will backstop Israel no matter what. And Iran's about ready to launch some missiles. The Houthis, Hezbollah. That's going to be a mess. And if we're telling the world that we're going to backstop Israel, that means one thing, boots on the ground. And then over in Poland, we have over 100,000 military troops, American military troops in Poland as a tripwire. If they wanted the war to lower the price of gas, then they're doing a hell of a job. I don't know how that works. Because if Iran lights up, our price of gas is not going down, I can assure you.
So let's segue over to Big League Dreams.
Please.
You know, I've been criticizing Big League Dreams, but actually I think I kind of admire them. They came in to this park, a $20 million park. They didn't bring anything to the table. They imported their own food. It was just ridiculous. They sucked it dry for every dime they could. They let it run down right into the ground, and they said, adios. They maximized their profits. They're going to tell you they lost money, but I don't believe that. Who's to blame for that?
Wow.
City of Reading. Kim Niemer in particular.
Yep.
Who is supposed to be watching our investment?
And watching when the fields start to show wear, not letting it get to the point where they're completely dilapidated. I mean, when it's a small fix it small. Don't wait till it's completely destroyed, and now it becomes an overwhelming expense to repair all the fields.
The city takes and lets the whole dang place go to hell, and now they're going to be the big savior.
Yes.
That's the way it's working out. They're very serious about getting it going. I've gone to a couple of the meetings, and
I think on net positive, I've been there when my kid was playing soccer. We had to go there for soccer games on the weekends. And on many weekends, that place is just jam-packed with families and kids and stuff. So I don't know the operating cost, but, I mean, on the weekend, that place would be hard to get a parking spot.
Are you talking about the soccer fields or Big League Dreams?
Well, the soccer fields. Isn't that all one of the same complex there?
No.
Oh, okay,
no,
okay.
No. In fact,
But thanks for clarifying. I thought that was all one complex under one management.
No, the soccer people run the soccer park, and it's subsidized by Reading.
Okay.
That's fine and dandy. Look at all them kids that are over there playing. They
absolutely.
They pay $5 and $6 to get in.
Yep.
Just for an entrance fee. But Big League Dreams, I forgot where I was going.
Come back, Joe. Come back.
Joe's back.
He never left us.
No, I got up there in front of the board and I criticized that it was a $20 investment. It was a grant from the state. And I was talking to Leonard Modi and he asked me why I was so against it. And I said, well, you know, it's taxpayers' money and it's just a waste. You build a $20 million facility and you give a 32-year contract to an out-of-town entity.
Yeah.
And his reply was, well, it's not Redding's money. And I said, well, it's still taxpayer money. And that was the end of the conversation on that. Travis Mann, who is now taking the place of Kim Niemer, he came over and we had a real nice conversation. He's a very nice person. I liked what he had to say. And he told me that I was mistaken about the $20 million, that some of that went to build the soccer park.
Okay, maybe that's where my thoughts were. Okay.
But the thing is, I don't believe that's true. I think he is told, he knows what he is told.
Oh, well.
You know, and would you think that people in the past would cover up their mistakes to the new guy?
Yeah, I wouldn't necessarily want to come clean if I'd made a $20 million mistake. I would, but I wouldn't want to.
So, they got $20 million to build Big League Dreams, and as I recall, the soccer park wasn't built for a couple, 2 or 3 years later. I think there was probably some creative financing there. And well, I've got another example for creative financing.
Please.
If it can come to me. I asked one of the supervisors, I said, you know, when you fully staff the police department and put three people on each fire engine, I said, was that ARPA money? And he said, no. He said, what they did is they gave the ARPA money to other departments and then used that excess money to hire the police and the firefighters. That's creative financing. Well, do you follow what I say? Say you give water $1 million.
Oh, no, I get
ARPA
that.
Money.
Yeah.
And then you take $1 million out of water's money and give it to the police to hire new uh-huh. officers and fill a staff.
I'm with you.
To me, that's still ARPA money that did that. And so what happens when the ARPA money runs out, you have to place it, and we're out of time.
No, we're not out of time. I just sitting there going, that cut in the neck, that things have to be, money gets displaced from one spot, it has to be replaced at another.
To me, that's creative financing, and I believe that's what he's been sold on the soccer park.
Yeah. Well, sorry about giving you the neck thing. I was just doing that because that means you got to cut the funding somewhere. It's getting, you know, if the water, in your example, has not got the $1 million in 2 years, they're going to need that $1 million, and they're probably going to take it back from the police.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And
that is creative financing.
If you guys want the police, you're going to have to give us some more money because we spent $30 million this year on unfunded liabilities, and we don't have any money.
Yep.
And yeah. Barry Tippin setting it up. A month ago, we were $1 million short. He mentioned at the meeting before this last, it's more like $5 million short, the city of Reading is on their budget. They're setting us up for more money.
Well.
Or take away some services.
Services are usually what happens. Because, I mean, as a rule, we don't vote ourselves taxes. You know, that's historically speaking. So I'm going to say that services will get cut as the economy goes south. That's my opinion. So.
Sure.
There you go. So,
but I'll tell you what I think they ought to do. Everybody working for the city, the county, that's making over $75,000 a year should not get a cost of living raise.
Well, you know, what's funny is I was having this discussion the other day with somebody about real estate. And back in 2005, when everybody was selling every house, it was crazy, almost like COVID. But I made pretty good money that year. 3 years later, the market crashed. I took a 90% pay cut. I mean, I did about half the number of deals I did in 2008, but I took a 90% pay cut. So when I hear these people bitch about, well, we can't take a 5% pay cut, I have to kind of laugh. I took a 90% pay cut.
Well, if they take a pay cut, they can't attract good help, but we're broke. Our sports park shut down. What's that say about the help?
And we're getting a ton of homeless people from San Francisco. I mean, it's great. All the positives that people want to come and work here for.
Yes. I haven't seen any residual effects from immigrants, have you?
Not yet. But I don't think we're overloaded like they are more in the Midwest and the Northwest. I think that's
going
to be a problem.
And one thing about it, they keep a low profile up here. I know that there was, years ago, there's always been some, but they keep a low profile and they work.
Yeah.
And we're out of time.
Have a great day, guys.
Well said this.
don't fall into the category that China necessarily needs to be an adversarial relationship. Joining me now is the Gatestone Institute senior fellow. He is author of The Coming Collapse of China and China is Going to War. Gordon Chang back with us. Gordon, great to see you. Thanks for being here. Give us your sense of Tim Walz's experience and approach toward communist China.
The thing I'm concerned about, he just fawns over China. And then when he's governor of Minnesota, he governs in a way that Mao would have been proud of. So, you know, it sounds like naivete, but I'm worried and I'm afraid it is something much worse.
What do you mean?
Well, I think that he actually believes in a lot of the stuff in China.
Hold up. Hey, for my new would be thinking we thought we don't.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life,